Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of Into the 99 podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel. I'm joined today with Slothy. Let's just get it right out of the way. If you guys want to support us, the best way you can do so is just liking and giving us a rate on Apple Music or Spotify. It really, really helps us get found. And with that out of the way, let's jump right into the topic. So today we have one of Slothy's decks. Slothy, tell us a little bit about the commander and what made you want to build the deck.
Absolutely. So the commander is Zangief the Red Cyclone. A couple things made me want to build this one. First of all, I love Street Fighter quite a lot. Zangief's one of my favorite characters in that. And Jund is a color combination I don't do very often, so it provided a little bit of challenge as well.
What colors are you normally in?
Usually, I find a lot of times I'm Jeskai, Boros, or Azorius.
Yeah, so you like the white color identity for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I also like white. I don't think it's weak like everyone does.
No, it's only weak if you don't know how to build it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'll let you jump into it. Tell us about Zangief and for what he's doing.
Absolutely. So Zangief is a 7/4 human warrior for 2 black, red, green, so 5 mana in total. Zangief the Red Cyclone must be blocked if able. He's got 2 abilities. One of them is called Iron Muscle. As long as it's your turn, Zangief has Indestructible. And Spinning Pile Driver. When Zangief deals damage to a creature, if that creature has dealt excess damage this turn, that creature's controller sacrifices a non-creature, non-land permanent.
That's a really good ability.
I really, really like that ability. And that's kind of where I went with the deck. A lot of sacrifice and damage-based spells.
Whenever Zangief deals damage to a creature, if it's dealt excess damage this turn, I really like that ability. I think that's awesome. It really brings, like you said, it brings sacrifice to Jund in a different way. It's like an anti-goad. You have to block it, and if it kills your creatures, like you basically have to have creatures stronger than it, or you lose your enchantments or artifacts. Yeah, that's really good. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's a very, very fun card, and playtesting it was just stupid lethal. Very quickly.
I looked just now at your artifact section. I guess we'll start there because that's funny. So your first one, obviously, Arcane Signet. It's yeah, you know what I'm laughing at. The first one we've got, Arcane Signet, obviously taps for one of any of the commander identity. Really good in any deck that's 3 or above colors, I think, to be honest. I'll let you take the next one here.
Yeah, absolutely. The next one is Lithiform Engine. Legendary artifact for 4, you can tap 2 and tap it to copy target activated or triggered ability you control, and you may choose new targets for the copy. You can tap 3 and tap it to copy target instant or sorcery spell and choose new targets, and you can tap 4 and tap it to copy target permanent spell you control. This card is very, very useful in pretty much any deck that deals with almost anything.
Yeah, it's just good overall, but like when you have a commander that has a triggered ability like that, being able to double it up immediately is really good.
Yeah, double sacrifice is something people tend to not like very much.
I run a lot of decks that wouldn't like this. I'm looking at your next one. You've got Nemesis Mask, a card I've never seen played in Commander. Nemesis Mask, 3 colorless for an equipment. All creatures able to block equipped creature do so with equip 3. I like that. Yeah. So you're hitting their whole field.
Yeah, hitting their whole field and lets all of the other creatures in the deck just kind of get through.
Zangief is a 7/4. That's something that we shouldn't forget. So anything like this, like if I'm playing like a goblin tribal and I'm forced to block with 7 goblins and lose 7 artifacts or enchantments, that's almost impossible to come back from. That's a massive loss.
Yeah. And next up is Sol Ring. We all know what it does. We all love it.
Yep. This is the one I was laughing at. Yeah, go ahead. Do you want me to take it?
So the next one is, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, so this is what made me smile as soon as I saw your list, is World Slayer at 5. Whenever a equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, destroy all permanents other than World Slayer. It's, again, another nearly impossible thing to come back from, and your commander inherently having Indestructible makes it so that you just indefinitely are able to... You can almost always swing out. Like, people are going to need a 1-drop to block, and the chance of all 3 players into the game getting 1-drops to block is very small. I would say that if you get a World Slayer through with Zangief, it's probably the game for you.
Yeah, this was kind of the one card that was like, the game has to end somehow. Let's have fun.
I like that a lot. Seeing World Slayer use World Slayer in Toski, and it's very funny. Like, World Slayer is a good game ender, and you don't really think of it because 5 mana equipment, 5 to equip. It's a 10 mana finisher, right? So who can really complain about that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like you're pure steel paladin.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you going to say there's still the salt of losing that way?
No. There's still a chance that if you end up getting like a Source of Plowshares or Path to Exile, that you can stop it.
That's true.
And then everybody's at the same spot. So can't be too salty.
That would be really funny to float the mana, let everything get destroyed, and then exile Zangief.
Yeah.
Really drag the game on in a true stacks manner. Which section do you want to go to next?
Let's do instance.
Okay.
So the deck has 16 instance. First one is Ancient Animus. It's 1 and a green. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control if it's legendary. Then it fights target creature an opponent controls. So with Zangief, it doesn't have to be combat damage.
I was just rereading that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be combat damage. So a lot of fighting will get sacrifice abilities off just continuously.
Yeah, it's the fight abilities are really, really strong. I didn't even realize that it was, because as combat damage alone, it would be good. But any damage from Zangief is awesome.
Yeah, and another thing too to keep in mind is the creature doesn't have to die to Zangief. It's whenever Zangief deals damage to a creature, if that creature dealt excess damage this turn, the opponent has to sacrifice a creature not that.
Oh, so even if something doesn't specifically die, like I have like just a huge creature out that lives through Zangief, if you then like Blasphemous Act the board.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really funny. Your next one, you have Assassin's Trophy. Honestly, amazing removal that has immediately needed a reprint ever since it was printed. It's 1 black, 1 green. Destroy target permanent opponent controls. Its controller may search their library for basic land, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle. Number one, it's great. It hits everything. Like, it's land removal, creature, artifact, enchantment, planeswalker. It's such a good card. And it has the upside of not aggressively salting everyone because they at least get a land out of it untapped. Like, it's an overall good card.
Yeah.
I really wish that they were available. Not even the affordability on them. Just they're not available anywhere.
No, it's kind of one of those ones that if you didn't get it when the set first came out, you didn't really get it too much.
Yeah, because no one's trading them in. Like, it's everyone's scooped up all of the available ones, basically.
Yeah.
Your next one is another similar card, Beast Within. It's 2 and a green, destroy target permanents. Controller creates a 3/3 green beast. In a deck like this, even better because it's something that Zangief can blow through really easily if they're not playing like a creature-heavy deck, and you can force more of those sacrifices, and it still hits permanents.
Next one is Cast Down. 1 and a black, destroy target non-legendary creature. Another quick way, if Zangief gets put back into your command zone or you're kind of slow and aren't able to get him out as quickly as you'd like to.
Yeah, you need to defend.
Yeah, getting something out of the way is kind of useful.
You've got Deflecting Swat in here. It's a card I also, that whole cycle needs to be reprinted. It's very, very strong, and only being able to get them in one place is rough because everyone is basically buying the decks up for them. But Deflecting Swat, 2 and a red, instant. Yeah. If you control your commander, you can cast without paying its mana cost. You can choose new targets for target spell or ability. That is really, really good protection, especially in such an aggressive deck, because Zangief is only indestructible on your turn. He's going to be your removal target at every other point of the game, especially if you're playing in like a...
Yeah.
This week, for instance, I just put together Sithis, and I built a Sithis deck. I had a lot of fun playing it, but I'm enchantment heavy, and you're going to blow through Sithis if you swing at it. So every turn, I would be losing all of my enchantments, like my Sterling Grows, my Mana Reflections to it. Like Sithis, a deck like that is going to need to remove it. You can't, if you're artifact or enchantment heavy, and a lot of decks these days are, you can't leave Zangief alone. You have to try politics it out or just hyper target it.
Yeah. Next one is one that I kind of paired with World Slayer. Heroic Intervention. 1 and a green, permanents you control gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn.
That's funnier. That's much saltier, but much funnier.
Yeah. See, this one's good on both sides, where if someone else is trying to board wipe or something and it's not your turn, you can just Heroic Intervention, Zangief stays around.
Yep. I like that. Well, Heroic Intervention is just such a good card, too. It was another great reprint.
Mm-hmm.
You have Invigorating Surge, 2 and a green, put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control, then double the number of 1/1 counters on that creature, so Zangief just gets stronger and stronger. At 7-4, there's not many creatures he can't blow through.
No.
Yeah, anything that makes him bigger. Crossing Grip, again. Great, great card removal. Is it really down to that? It's 49 cents, apparently. Great removal option as well. Split Second, again, love it. Two and a green, Split Second, instant, destroy target, artifact, or enchantment. Again, a great card. You're really hating on artifacts this game.
Yeah. Kind of like you were saying, there's a lot of decks that are based around artifacts, enchantments nowadays.
Well, yeah, it's just a popular thing, right? And especially, we all know, we all have a player in our group who every game has 30 treasure tokens from Smothering Tides, right? So being able to blow through those and start hitting those enchantments, like a lot of the enchantment cards just basically can't be found anymore. We just had the new enchantment commander. We had like things like Sith has come out lately. A lot of Pillow Fort decks are coming up. There's enchantments in this deck is very good in the current, what I would say, meta of popular commanders, as everyone's got their own meta, of course. Like, but from what I see a lot of games, this would wreck house. Yeah. Oh, especially against like decks like Galea, and I see a lot of Galea decks.
Yeah, Galea is a very fun commander, and cards like Crossing Grip just pose them.
Well, and especially too, if Galea has to block every turn,
you just
start chipping away at those swords and the Robe of Stars, all those kind of things. That's really funny.
Mm. Yeah. Next up, we've got Pounce. One and a green, target creature you control fights target creature you don't control.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Lots of good fight. It is your Street Fighter deck, right? Putrefy. Yeah. One green, one black. Destroy target artifact creature. Can't be regenerated. Again, doing exactly. I would honestly put in Mycosynth Lattice in this deck. With how much artifact hate you have, I would put that one in and just really be a bad person to my friends. But you didn't, at least.
I'll make this one a group hug deck.
Yeah, this is your group hug deck?
Yep.
You could take the next group hug card, please.
The next group hug card is Ram Through. One and a green, target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control. If that creature you control has trample, excess damage is dealt to that creature's controller instead.
That's a rough one.
Yep.
You've got Terminate. You have a lot of single target removal. You built very different than me, Slothy. Terminate, one black, one red, destroy target creature. It cannot be regenerated.
I tried to have a bunch of single removal because Zangief doesn't do, like, you can't sacrifice creatures. So if you can just get rid of those little extra creatures that are bugging you, maybe they've got like a token generator or something like that. I guess they don't want to sacrifice.
I guess that makes good sense that you don't want to have to, because you can only. Your ability's not hitting the other way. That's smart. Smarter than me. I'm a Gruul player in a different way. It's not a big brain thing for me. You've got more fight as well with Titanic Brawl. One and a green. The spell costs one less to cast if it targets a creature you control. The one counter on it. Target creature you control fights target creature you don't control.
Lots of ways to put plus one plus one counters on this. So it's almost always going to be a single green for getting rid of a creature and non-creature online permanent.
Well, the other thing with these instants as well is, sure, Zangief's not indestructible, but he's still a 7-4. He can still beat most things in a fight.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially with the sacrifice, if you're running something like you're against a deck that has like a greater Oromancy or something that's like making like a Darksteel Forge, for instance, they're sacrificing those artifacts, and that's making it much, much worse for them. Mm-hmm. You have your Vampiric Tutor as well. Another great instant. Search your library for a card, then shuffle your library and put it on top for one. Yeah, you lose two life, one black.
Yep. Yeah, almost always searching up World Slayer or something similar.
World Slayer is so funny.
So next up is Wild Ricochet. Two and two red for... you can choose new targets for target instant or sorcery spell, then copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy. Just another way to... protect Zangief when it's not your turn.
Also good. Also good fight mechanic if you really want to.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you've got your Worldly Tutor. You search your library for creature, reveal it, shuffle your library, and put that card on top for one green.
Yeah.
Now, one card that I see that's already missing in this deck, you don't have a Chandra's Ignition.
That's true, I don't.
Yeah, Chandra's Ignition would make Zangief hit everything on the board, and I think it would wreck the game for people, so that's why I would put it in immediately. As soon as I saw it, I was like, he's got to have Chandra's Ignition in here. That's my suggestion for the deck tech already. Buy a Chandra's Ignition. play with 101 cards. Who cares? Which ones do you want to go to next? Your sorceries?
Yeah, let's go to sorceries. All right. So there's 10 sorceries. And the first one is Armed and Dangerous. So Armed side is one and a red. Target creature gets +1/+1, gains double strike until end of turn. And the Dangerous side, which is, in my opinion, the more important side. All creatures able to block target creature this turn do so, and that's 3 and a green. And yeah, you can also fuse them.
Oh, so you can... Ooh, that's rough. That's funny that you can fuse them up like that.
Mm-hmm. +1/+1, double strike, and all creatures able to block this turn do so.
Yeah, that's big. You have Crux of Fate as well, 3BB. Choose one, destroy all dragons, or destroy all non-dragons. For you, it really doesn't matter. You're going to keep Zangief alive anyways. You've got my favorite ramp card, which is Cultivate. I love Cultivate. I put it in every deck I can. 2 and a green, search library for up to 2 basic lands. Reveal those cards and put them onto the battlefield. One onto the battlefield, tap the other into your hand, then shuffle. I put it in like every deck. Even if it's like mono green, I still put it in the deck. I really like Cultivate.
It's such a good card.
Yeah, great color fixing.
Next up is Farseek. 1 and a green. Search your library for a plains, island, swamp, or mountain. Put it onto the battlefield, tapped, and then shuffle. Another way to kind of color fix if you're looking for that black mana or that one red.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It can't hit forests, which I always find frustrating, but the fact that it can go if you have any dual shocks, like Triome. I think, is there a Gruul Triome? I don't think there is a Gruul Triome, no.
No, I don't think so.
Not yet, but there should be soon. I really hope so. Mm. Then you have your Overwhelming Stampede, which is great in a deck like this. 3BG, until end of turn, creatures you control gain trample and get XX, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. With 7 power on your commander to start, that's a great card to include.
Then we've got Prey Upon, 1 green, target creature you control fights target creature you don't control.
Yep.
You've got another one.
Rampant Growth, more ramp. Search library for basic land and put that card into play, tap, then shuffle on 2. So you're going to, a lot of times, based on how this deck's looking, you're going to get Zangief out fairly early.
Yeah. Through my playtesting, it seemed like that I was usually getting him out like turn 3 or turn 4.
Yeah, which is like solid to have a 7/4 indestructible sacrifice permanence creature out.
Yeah. Especially, it's very, very potent in the early game as well, because a lot of people have their Soul Rings, their Arcane Signets, their Mana Crypts, stuff like that they're just going to have to get rid of and have to deal with not having that.
The next one I want to take too, it's honestly like one of my favorite cards to run, and I just can't find them anywhere. I've stopped building with it because I can't find them, but a lot of my like older decks just run this card nonstop because of how much like utility is. It's such a good card. Risker's Expertise, 4BG, draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. Again, with a 7-power commander in the command zone, this is a great inclusion at 6. And then you can cast a spell with mana value 5 or less from your hand without paying its cost. Like, there's no downside to something like this. This is just an awesome card to include in a deck like this, and it's an awesome card overall. I'm reading your next one again. You're really doubling down on this one. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So the next one is Roar of Challenge, 2 and a green. All creatures able to block target creature this turn do so, and it's got a Ferocious. That creature gains indestructible until end turn if you control a creature power 4 or greater. Doesn't matter in the least for this deck, because you're just going to be targeting Zangief. Having a lot of... Because I found people are going to have a lot of like 1/1 tokens and stuff like that, and they're just going to chump block with that every turn. But if you can make it so everything has to block...
Having a chump block with those tokens would be very rough in this deck.
Yeah.
And then to end your sorceries off, you've got Skyshroud Claim. 3 and a green, search library for up to 2 forests, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle.
Yep.
Do you want to hit your enchantments or your planeswalker next?
Let's do planeswalker.
All right. You can just get that one right out of the way.
Yeah. So I got Liliana, Dreadhorde General. 4 and 2 black for a legendary planeswalker, Liliana. Starts with 6 loyalty. Whenever creature you control dies, draw a card. And you can +1 to create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. -4 to have each player sacrifice 2 creatures. And -9, each opponent chooses a permanent to control of each permanent type and sacrifices the rest.
Yeah.
This is a game ender, but not with Zangief. It's with a card, some cards that we'll get to later.
Yeah, it's a game ender in general. Like, losing all but one of your lands is really, really rough. Liliana's definitely a salty planeswalker, but I think it's like really, really fun to get that alt off. The fact it protects itself, the fact that it makes people sacrifice the one thing that you're not hitting with your sacrifice is also awesome. By the way, I think Zach would have loved this deck. It's a shame Zach's not here. By the way, everyone listening, you've noticed Zach's not here. Zach's busy for the weekend, so. But I know Zach would have liked this one. Now we'll jump over into your enchantments, because I really liked your enchantment section when I was looking at it. You have Beastmaster's Ascension, 2 and a green. Whenever a creature you control attacks, you can put a quest counter on it. As long as it has 7 or more quest counters on it, creatures you control get 5/5, making Zangief a 13/9 monster. 12/9. Math's hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Then next up is Fiery Emancipation, 3 and triple red. If a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals triple that damage to that permanent or player instead. This is for when you're facing the stuff that might just be a little bit bigger than Zangief. Just have it. Just 21 damage. Also, if you're hitting somebody.
Yeah, if they don't have a creature to.
It's a one shot kill.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they don't have the creature to block, the flavor text is right. Zangief must be blocked. You'll instantly die if you don't with Fire Emancipation out. Yeah, that's very good. You've also got your Gratuitous Violence, 2 triple red. If creature you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, deals double that damage to the permanent or player instead. Again, making this almost impossible to not blow through the creatures.
Yeah. And then next up is one of my favorite cards in this deck. It's Lurk. 1 and double green for an aura. You can enchant creature and all creatures able to block enchanted creature do so.
Mm-hmm.
Just for case you're not drawing your Roar of Challenge or your Armed and Dangerous. It's just a way to keep that on the board permanently or until it gets removed.
Yeah, that's a rough one, like I said. It's very funny. All creatures you control gain trample with the next one in Primal Rage. 1 and a green. That's a very good enchantment as well. You don't see that one come up very often.
No, I don't think I've ever played against that one.
I've gotten a few decks, like it was one of the cards I initially put into Kama, but I took it out because I just had other ways to give Kama trample. But this is a great card for... it's in my Finn the Fangbearer deck, which is obnoxious. Everything...
Yeah, that would be obnoxious.
Either, yeah, Death Touch tramples. It's such a fun one.
Next one is Rhythm of the Wild. 1, red and green. Creature spells you control can't be countered. And non-token creatures you control have Riot. So they enter the battlefield with your Twisted +1/+1 counter or Haste. This is good if you've got Zangief out with this. You can give it the +1/+1 counter, and give it haste, kind of just depending on where the board's at. And it can't be countered, which is something, being a usually blue player, I do quite a lot.
Yeah, countering.
It's a very annoying card.
He's an expensive commander to get countered as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Your next one you have is Unnatural Growth. Yeah, I was just going to say the next one is Unnatural Growth. 1 double green and double green, so quadra green. Enchantment at the beginning of each combat, double the power and toughness of each creature you control until end of turn. So if you have anything that gives you extra combats, this just gets out of control. But even if you don't, this becomes, again, 14/8 is really big.
You know I've got ways to give extra combats.
Yeah, I was going to say you probably have a few extra combat things in here. We'll see, but... So... We right now, we're through your enchantments, your artifacts, your instants, your sorceries, and your one planeswalker. And I've got to say, before we even get to the creature section of the deck, I'm in love with this deck. It seems really, really fun to play. It seems like a great way to, like a really unorthodox way to remove annoying things, right? Enchantment removal is the least played thing in Magic. I find at least nobody can ever remove things, but this is an unorthodox way. You bring a sacrifice mechanic to triple in a way that isn't Korvald, because usually Gruul's about you sacrificing things, right? And this is the total opposite. It's everyone else has to sacrifice. Also, every time I see the artwork of Zangief choking the bear, it just makes me laugh. I just a giant smile on my face looking at that. What a silly card.
Yeah. So we've got two sections left. Do I do lands or the creatures?
You can go through your lands. I usually don't go through lands because mine are all like duels. But go through the lands if there's anything important you want to chat about in here.
Yeah. So I am running all 3 dual lands in this, but proxy. Don't go into debt to play Magic. Got Shocklands as well. And the only real... Like, there's 2 lands that I kind of want to talk about. Forbidden Orchard. You can tap one mana of any color to your mana pool, and whenever you tap Forbidden Orchard for mana, target opponent creates a 1/1 colorless spirit creature token. Terrific land in this deck, I think, because if your opponents are creating more creatures, you can attack them, they have to block with the creatures, they have to sacrifice more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, the Seiju Who Endures. You tap it to add a green, or it's got channel for one and a green, discard it, and destroy target artifact, enchantment, or non-basic land. And player may search library for a land card with a basic land type, put on the battlefield, then shuffle. And if you've got this with Zangief out, it's just going to cost one green to destroy artifact, enchantment, or non-basic land.
Yeah, very, very good removal.
Those are really the only lands that I wanted to talk about.
Well, and channel's not a cast, right? So that is like also a really, really strong ability because you can't target, you can't counter it unless you have like a stifle. It's an ability.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very, very good land. There's a reason it's so pricey already. It being that pricey shows that if you have them, keep them, and if you can pick them up now, do it, because they're not going down.
No, not anytime soon.
Yeah, this is that whole land cycle, I think, is great. I think the artwork on it's beautiful, but they're all great lands. If they had, the only thing that I would like more on them is if they had the forest type. If you were able to fetch them that way, like with a Sky Shroud Claim or something, those would have been some of the best lands printed in recent memory.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's kind of what they were trying to avoid.
Well, they should have done it, because I would have liked it personally.
Well, that's probably why they didn't, thinking about it.
Yeah.
But
because they hate me.
they know what kind of stuff you're up to.
Yeah, they know. My next deck, the one we're doing next week, is kind of a group hug deck, but it's also really annoying still, too. I'm very proud of this one.
Wait, is this actually group hug, or is this like Hinata group?
It's not quite Hinata group hug, but it's Kama. That I can't stop talking about that commander. I'm so in love with it. That'll be next week's episode, and you'll enjoy it. If you want a fun budget deck, you'll enjoy it. But we'll jump into the creatures here. Absolutely. Oh, before we get into that, sorry, one second. If you are going to get some proxies and stuff like that, definitely check out Abyss. Abyss Proxy Shop?
Abyss Proxy Shop. That's where.
Let me find. Yeah,
that's where I'm ordering those dual lands from.
Yeah, abyssproxyshop.com. Great proxies and stuff like that, so that you don't break the bank and you can afford to actually get out to your LGS, support them by buying the other not $700 cards that you weren't going to buy anyways. Because that's what I mean. Most people, if they proxy, a game store is not losing the money because most people were never going to spend $700 per land. So
yeah.
Proxy responsibly. Have fun. AbyssProxyShop.com.
Absolutely.
Oh, and there's a promo code. If you order from there and you use, it's IT99, I believe. If you use our promo code, you'll get 10% off. Jeez, I need Zach to do these plugs. Zach's my plug guy. All right, back to your creatures now.
Yeah. Back to the creatures. So the first creature is one that I really, really like in this deck. It's a Crow and Horse. It's 4 generic for a 0/4 artifact creature horse with Defender. When a Crow and Horse enters the battlefield, an opponent gains control of it, and at the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent creates a 1/1 white soldier creature token. I find this is a great politic card, because you can say, hey, look at like the player who's in last place. Hey, do you want a 0/4 defender? I'll give it to you if you don't. Like, and I won't attack you with it if you keep that horse around so you guys can keep getting tokens. And it's just more sacrifice fodder for your opponents.
Yeah. Hopefully, you wouldn't want to swing Zangief at them, because I feel like they would just block with the horse.
Yeah, exactly.
But still.
You'd want to not attack that player for as long as possible after you play the horse.
Yeah, like you said, you just want to be cool with them. Then you have Archetype of Finality. Yeah. That's a really, really good card. It's 4 double black for an enchantment creature, Gorgon, 2/3. Creatures you control have death touch. Creatures your opponents control lose death touch and can't have or gain it. Yeah, that's rough. That makes everything, unless they're indestructible, makes everything excess damage.
Yep. Then we've got Beast Whisper, a 2/2 green for a 2/3 elf druid. Whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. There are 24 creatures in this deck, so you'll get a little bit of value off of it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Beast Whisper is always a great card. It's such a good inclusion.
Yeah.
You've got Birds of Paradise, which is an amazing turn one card, especially in a 3-color deck. 1 green for 0/1 flyer bird that taps for 1 mana of any color. It's great color fixing. It's been reprinted nonstop, so it's not a horrible budget, and it's a beautiful looking card. I always enjoy a good old bop.
Yeah.
There it is, the next one. Go ahead.
The next one is Combat Celebrant, 4/1 human warrior for 2 and a red. If Combat Celebrant hasn't been exerted this turn, you may exert it as it attacks, and when you do, untap all other creatures you control, and after this phase, there's an additional combat phase. And there's another one that I just want to get out of the way right now. I've got Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker in here.
Okay.
2/2 Goblin Shaman for 2 and triple red. It's got haste. You can tap to create a token that's a copy of every non-legendary creature you control, except it has haste. It sacrifices at the beginning of the next step. So that's another... That's kind of why I put Worldly Tutor in there, because I don't want it to be winning on turn whatever.
That's a fun combo with it, yeah. Like you said, games do have to end.
Yeah. What, you want to take the next one there?
Yes, I like this one. Gargos Vicious Watcher, 3 and triple green. I always call it Gargos. It's the gargling sound. It's a legendary Hydra, 8/7 Vigilance. Oh, yeah. Hydras you cast are 4 or less to cast. Whenever a creature you control becomes the target of a spell, Gargos Vicious Watcher fights up to 1 target creature you don't control. Target of any spell, so you can make him double fight. Gargos does damage. He puts in work.
Yep. Next. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just love the next one. It's Bear. I love all the bears in the magic.
Oh, yeah.
You can take this one.
Oh, sure. The next one is Gorklaw, Terror of Khalsisma. It's a 4/3 legendary creature bear for 3 and a green. Creature spells you cast with power 4 or greater cost 2 less to cast. And whenever Gorklaw attacks, each creature you control with power 4 or greater gets +1/+1 and gains trample until end of turn. I mostly like him for the cost reduction.
Yep.
But I mean, giving trample, that's pretty useful as well.
It's a very good card overall. I really like Gorklaw. The next one, yeah, I think is a really fun inclusion. It's Helena and Alina Partners. 2/1 red, 1 green. 2/3, and I, again, another set I haven't seen. Maybe it's because they're so recent, but I haven't seen them in a deck yet, but they've got such a great ability that it makes sense. You've got first strike and reach on a 2/3. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put X/1/1 counters on another target creature you control, where X is Helena and Elena's power. That creature gains haste. So you're able to buff Zangief constantly, get him out attacking faster, or like with your Combat Celebrant, you can get the combo going a little quicker.
Next up is Ignoble Hierarch, 0/1 Goblin Shaman for green. It's got Exalted. Whenever this creature attacks, a creature you control attacks alone, that creature is +1/+1 to end a turn, and you can tap to add either black, red, or green. Another color fixing.
Yeah, Ignoble Hierarch's great. There, I don't know why it's so cheap, but I don't think it'll stay that way.
No, not at all.
The next one, hilarious card, and I have great respect for you putting it in the deck. It's It the Betrays. It's 12 mana for an 11/11 Annihilator 2. But that's not even the worst part. The worst part is whenever an opponent sacks a non-token permanent, you put that card on the battlefield under your control. This synergizes so well with your deck.
Got to deal with not having friends afterwards, but,
Eldrazi are always a good time.
Oh, yeah. Next up is Mayhem Devil, 3/3 creature devil for 1 black and red. Whenever a player sacrifices a permanent, Mayhem Devil deals 1 damage to any target.
Yeah, that's a very good card for the deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really does like exactly what you need in this deck. Oh, you also have a great card for the deck. It's Mazarek, Kral Death Priest, 3/1 green, 1 black for a 2/2 flying insect shaman. Whenever a player sacks another permanent, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. That'll buff your board a lot in this deck.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like this deck so far.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Knight of the Dire Hunt. 3/3 legendary creature human warrior for 2 and double green. Whenever one or more creatures you control fight or become blocked, draw a card. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, you may pay 2 and hybrid gruel. If you do, double target creature's power until end of turn, that creature must be blocked this combat if able.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I really like Nyeth.
Oh, and it just, in this deck as well, it just goes so well. The draw because it has to be blocked, the double power, and the ability to make something else also be forcibly blocked.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that. You've got Nyx Bloom Ancient, which is just a great mana ramping card. 4 triple green for an enchantment creature elemental. 5/5 trample. If you tap a permanent for mana, it produces 3 times as much of that mana instead.
Yeah. A lot of the cards in this deck are up there in mana cost, so being able to have a 4 mana It That Betrays is pretty deadly.
Yep. It That Betrays is great. I would put more Annihilator in this. Yeah. I'm a bad person.
I'll make it a bit more group hug.
Yeah, exactly. You have Oren Frostfang, which is 3 and double green. For attacking creatures you control to get Death Touch, a 2/6 body, and whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. Really, really good card draw in those last few cards. I really like that.
And next up, we've got Paradise Druid, 1 and a green, 2/1 Elf Druid. Paradise Druid has Hexproof as long as it's untapped, and you can tap it to add mana of any color. Just a little bit more fixing.
Yeah. You have Rexage to blow anything they're not sacking up off the board. 2 and a green for a 2/1 Elf Shaman. When it enters, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment. That's funny, the next one.
Next up is Shieldred Whispering One, a 6/6 legendary creature praetor for 5 and 2 black. She's got Swamp Walk, and at the beginning of your upkeep, return target creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. And at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature. I really like this card in this deck because it does hit what Zangief misses in creatures, especially if there's an indestructible that's causing you trouble.
Yep.
And being able to bring back some of your juicier removal targets is something that I really, really enjoy doing.
Yeah. This next one is really, really good, too. You've got your Silverclad Ferocidons, 5 double red for an 8/5 dinosaur. Whenever Silverclad Ferocidons is dealt damage, each opponent sacks a permanent. That's great. I'll let you talk about the next one because I bet it's the favored card in the deck.
It is definitely up there. Next one is Turgrid, God of Fright, a 4/5 legendary creature god for a 3 and double black. She's got Menace, and whenever an opponent sacrifices a non-token permanent or discards a permanent card, you may put that card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. And she's got the flip side, Turgrid's Lantern for a 3 and a black. Legendary artifact. You can tap it to have target player lose 3 life unless they sacrifice a non-land permanent or discard a card. And you can tap 3 and a black to untap Turgrid's Lantern. It's just a way to get more stuff from your opponents.
Yeah. Generally speaking, you're going to want to put Turgrid's side out, obviously.
Yeah.
I Turgrid, one second, before we even get there. Turgrid salts everyone, so just know that when you play it, it's obviously going to make people upset. But Turgrid's so good.
Turgrid is...
I was going to say it single-handedly wrecked the price of Tiny Bones.
Yeah,
we've got just a few more here finishing up. You've got your Ulvenwald Tracker, which is just so good with Zangief's ability. 1 green for a 1/1 human shaman, and then 1 and a green target creature you control fights another target creature. That's just awesome removal of their artifacts.
Yeah.
Zangief's fighting the world in this deck. Also probably another favored card in the deck.
Oh, yeah. All right. And the next one that we've got is Vigor. 6/6 elemental incarnation for 3 and triple green. It's got trample, and if damage will be dealt to another creature you control, prevent that damage and put a +1/+1 counter on that creature for each 1 damage prevented this way. And when Vigor is put into a graveyard from anywhere, shuffle it into its owner's library.
Yeah.
Stupid card.
Yeah, Vigor's definitely going to be putting in a lot of work in this deck because you don't care about damage actually being there, so preventing it doesn't matter, but Zangief just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And then you...
bigger and bigger till you can get a trample and just run people over.
Yeah, then you end it off. You've got Xenagos, God of Rebels. 3, 1 green, and 1 red for a 6/5 indestructible legendary enchantment creature god. As long as your devotion to red and green is less than 7, Xenagos is not a creature. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, another target creature you control gains haste, gets XX until end of turn, where X is that creature's power. So, again, with your commander, it's great. With a lot of cards in this deck, it's awesome, just the haste enabling. But, yeah, it's definitely going to put work in doubling it up. And it's another great blocker, indestructible as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like, even if you don't end up using the +X/+X ability, you can still give things like Ulvenwald Tracker haste, so you can have some fight right away, or anything like that.
You also run so many more lands than me. You've got 36 in this deck.
Yeah.
I basically never run 36. I think only like Windgrace has 36, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's my Lands Matter deck. Yeah. I always run a smaller curve, but no, I honestly think that like you're gonna, with a deck like this, obviously it, first off, I think it's really well put together. I think it's like a super cool deck. I would love to see this deck played. I think it's very fun. So I can't wait to play this deck with you. Cause again, we live close to each other. But this will be an awesome deck to bring out. It's very It's got a lot of flavor in the deck for sure. But that being said, I think you're going to consistently do what you want in this deck. And that's what, in my opinion, makes a deck actually good, right? It doesn't really matter how strong it is if it doesn't perform what you want. Like, I don't think you're going to... I don't think you're going to run out of, like, you're not going to be stuck on mana here. I don't think you're going to have trouble getting Zangief out. Honestly, his only real worry is, like, exile effects. Like, you're going to have to, if someone's swords are pathing him, but he's safe from most removal. So I think you're going to really, really hit people a lot of the time for exactly what you want to do in this deck. Like, I think it looks like it would just function very, very well. Do you have any strengths or weaknesses to the deck?
Well, strengths, kind of like what you said, it has no problem doing what it wants to do. It's very, very kind of straightforward. You can get Zangief out, like I was saying, turn three, turn four, very, very, very easily. Weaknesses, yeah, I think that exile effects, and unless you've got, unless you got that Rhythm of the Wild out,
yeah,
a lot of your creatures are a lot more heavily costed, so if something gets countered, you're just down like 6 mana or even 12 mana with it that betrays. So I think that's the biggest weakness.
Yeah, is that you have like a big chance of whiffing if people are playing control.
Yeah, yeah, and token decks. That's another weakness.
Just because you get overwhelmed with them. Zangief doesn't have vigilance, right? So he's going to constantly be tapped. You need to have other blockers up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, I think that this deck overall just looks like a really, really fun thing to play and play against.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm very excited to bring this to the LGS and get some games in with it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to proxy Zangief until the card actually comes out so I can play it.
Yeah, the amount of time you'd be wasting waiting to get it would be silly. That's the one thing that stops me a lot of the time from getting the secret lairs is I just don't want to wait to get the cards in the mail. I like a tangible product.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but that being said, like I do support people just proxying stuff. So having someone proxy this up to play would be very entertaining. I think the other thing is I've been a pretty vocal supporter of the Universes Beyond. I think that it brings like Zangief. Sure. It's not like a magic themed character, right? But you still made a magic themed deck based on it, right? Like it's the ability to do so much fighting and stuff like that. Like this slots in very good, like sans the art. And at the end of the day, the art is just a big muscular guy choking a bear, which is hilarious, right? Like it could be literally anything. Like you can slot a legendary creature into magic's lore that way. Like it's not unrealistic.
Yeah. And like if for some reason you didn't know who Zangief was, This could just look like a magic art, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and like...
It could definitely be.
I was going to say, The Walking Dead is one thing, right? Not everyone's like a fan of the TV shows and everything like that. But a lot of us played Street Fighter growing up and stuff, right? Basically, basically, if you're in your like 30s or early 40s, and even in your like your mid-ish 20s, like Street Fighter, they were kind of like the game, right? We all went through like a Street Fighter, GoldenEye, Mario 64, like all of us that like had those games, we either played them or played them with our buddies, right? That was just like part of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, for most people, you probably, if you are into magic and similar hobbies like us, you probably played a Street Fighter game or two.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm amazed that the one thing that I don't like is I wish that they would have made the bonus card in it instead, like they made the bonus card in the set, the Hadouken. I wish it would have been like just a vehicle, but like a broken down one for the car stage. That would have made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Even give it like partner with the one guy as well.
Yeah. I love the partner mechanic. And I also do really love partner with. But no, I think that your deck, like it has clear defined win cons of like you can smack people with Zangief. You can blow the permanents off the table with World Slayer. You've got one infinite combo in there, but even not using it infinite, there's still really, really good uses in the deck. I think that you put it together a really, really good deck. I might even build this deck. It looks very, very fun.
We'll have to play them against each other.
Absolutely. Or just play them as a two-headed giant and just make everyone sack everything.
Perfect.
So, again, thank you guys so much for listening. Check us out anywhere that you get podcasts. And yeah, I'm just going to roll the credits and you can say goodbye to everyone, Slothy.
Yep. Peace. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, let us know if there's something different that you would put into a deck like this. For me, it was Chandra's Ignition. But other than Chandra's Ignition, I love the deck. I would just remove a few of these lands and get that Chandra's Ignition in. Make sure you, again, check out abyssproxyshop.com if you are looking for any of like the dual lands or the pieces that are just out of the price range, but you still think would make your deck function. Like when you're putting cards like that in, don't overboard the table. Just make it fun for everyone, because a deck functioning is still fun. Check us out. Thanks for listening, and bye, everyone.